This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to go to our good friend Craig Meyer of the Post-Gazette, who covers Pitt. Craig, you know, early on they won a couple of games and I think unfortunately became a victim of really ridiculously high expectations.
Yeah, I mean, I think after the Florida State win, and I think at the time it wasn't super unreasonable, but you had a lot of people talking, you know, this may be an NCAA tournament team. They're still appearing in like some of those bubble watches and things like that. But I mean, you had people talking about 20 wins, and this team being part of it, you know, part of an even more remarkable turnaround than they already are. So I think some of the expectations got a little bit unrealistic. I think that we see now that although this is a much improved team, I think we also see that, you know, Florida State maybe isn't all that great, certainly not, maybe not one of the top 15 teams in the country, although they're back in the top 25 now. I mean, you know, like Louisville's team, they outplayed that game. I mean, that game shouldn't have even gone in the overtime. I mean, they were up 15 with about 5 minutes left. But I think Jeff Capel's even touched on somewhere. He said that he thinks they were able to catch some teams off guard. You know, some teams who still thought of them as the 0-19 laughingstock from last season. And I think a lot of people have been kind of put on notice, and when there's been more of a, you know, when there's been a fuller body of work for guys like Xavier Johnson or Trey McGowan, like people are able to pick up on some of their tendencies a little bit more. So some of the things that worked, you know, in the first three or four ACC games aren't working quite as effectively now, although, you know, I'm sure we'll end up talking about, like, I mean, a good part of that too comes with just what's been a pretty front loaded schedule that, you know, where they've gotten most of their tough ACC games out of the way here pretty early. So as things go down the stretch here in the final 10 conference games, I mean, this may not be, you know, where it would be easy to kind of fall in line with the idea that, you know, that this team improved a bunch during the course of the season, but also, I mean, it's a team that's going to end up playing most of its easier conference games here over the next 4 weeks. It's just more of a product of an unbalanced schedule. But I think the 2-6 hole that they're in now is when they'll be able, again, just based almost purely on the schedule, I think they'll be able to climb out of.
Yeah, I think the big thing, Craig, is when you really think about it, you're in the ACC, you're facing the best coaches, really, you know, among the best coaches on the planet. To me, you know, if you think about it, they're going to adjust. And now they've got 20-some games of film of Pitt. You knew this was going to happen. And, you know, even though, you know, theoretically the schedule is getting a little bit lighter after this Syracuse game, although they still got Virginia Tech and Virginia coming up, I don't think that it's necessarily going to be like an easy road for them to get to like 6 wins or 7 wins.
Yeah. I don't think so either. I mean, I think one of the difficult things for them is if you look at their final 10 games, a lot of their easier games like Wake Forest and Boston College and Georgia Tech, and even Miami too, all of those games come on the road. So there really isn't, maybe outside of a Wake Forest, because I've watched them a couple times. That's an absolutely dreadful team. I think outside of them, there aren't any real gimmies in there, you know, where you can point to that game and say with 80% certainty or greater that, hey, they're going to win that game, you know, most just because given how heavily they, you know, that they lean on freshmen, it's an inconsistent team. So, I mean, I think having those games on the road makes things more difficult. Like, I think it guarantees less, you know, I think that it puts their floor lower, but their ceiling higher because for their more difficult games, with the exception of Virginia, they're getting those at home. So there may be a chance where you're able to play a team like Syracuse, where you don't have much of, you know, nearly as good of a chance against them on the road. But, you know, this time around, you're able to get them at home. Same thing with NC State. Same thing with Virginia Tech. So, yeah, I think it's maybe not a feast or famine type situation, because then, you know, they may finish somewhere in the middle. They've got 10 games left. I would, if I had to guess, you know, barring injuries or anything really unforeseen, I would guess they win 4 of them. But, yeah, I don't think that it's anything that's really fully guaranteed. Like, I don't think they're as bad as they've looked in their past few games at times. Certainly not as bad as they looked in the first half against Clemson on Tuesday. But this is also a team that, like, I just don't – yeah, I think the way that we thought of them a couple weeks ago was maybe a little bit overly optimistic.
When you think about it, Craig, the other part of it is – you look around the ACC and even the bad teams, they all seem to have like one or two NBA caliber players. It's just going to be a process. And basically, regardless of what happens this year, Pitt just needs some more better players. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's what we've seen over these past 4, 6, 8 games here is that there are 3 guys on that team who I think that they can consistently rely on game in and game out for some kind of production, or even if they're not scoring, they have a positive impact on the game. But because of that, you end up playing some guys. Like I'll get emails and tweets from people asking why so and so is playing. I feel like lately it's been Malik Ellison a lot. Like, oh, why is he in the game? I'm like, well, at the very worst, I think he's your 8th best player. If he's your 8th best player, I mean, that means he's getting probably 10 or 12 minutes a game, and that means he's part of the team's rotation. So I just, yeah, they don't, I mean, ideally some of the guys that they would be playing a lot of, some of the guys that they are playing a lot of, especially down low, I think ideally under better circumstances, if they had a better talent pool, those guys probably wouldn't be playing. Like, I think of a guy like Terrell Brown, who for all the improvement that he's made over the past month here, he's still a guy who I think ideally for a good ACC team would probably be coming off the bench and, playing maybe 10 or 12 minutes a game to give your primary big man a breather. They're just in a spot right now. I talked to someone, a friend of mine was, has watched a couple of their games this season. He's like, it's kind of like, all of the good players are ones that Cable brought in, and all the ones who stink are Stallings guys. And that's a little overly simplified, but I think it's pretty clear that even with a limited time frame and a limited amount of resources, especially when it came to official visits, that Cable was able to do a lot. And I think even though that they don't have a guy right now, I think it does give them some hope, though, for thinking that Pitt can bring some good guys in, whether it's reclassifications or JUCO guys or transfers. I mean, I think he's a guy who should be given the benefit of the doubt just based on the guys that already been able to bring in.
Yeah, well, you look at this Syracuse game, Craig. Obviously, there was some struggles that Pitt has had against the 2-3 zone. They don't shoot it very well. They figured it out a little bit at the end of the Syracuse game the last time. Do you expect them to play better in this one?
I think it depends. Part of it depends because two of the guys who they would try to sort of dissect that 2-3 zone with, Audis Tony and Terrell Brown. I mean, both those guys, their statuses for tomorrow are questionable. Jeff Cable hopes that they play, but I hope for a lot of things and don't get them. So I think that if those two guys play, especially Tony, I think that they stand a much better chance. I think that the circumstances for this game are definitely much more advantageous for them. Where the last game, I mean, it was a terrible match, but it was the first time facing that 2-3 zone. It was obviously on the road, and you're thrusting a very inexperienced team, into a place where, for shooters, it's pretty notoriously bad place for messing up people's depth perception. So I think that that game, the they lost by, it was 11 or 12 a couple weeks ago. I think they'll play much closer this time, but I still don't think that this is a team that's properly built, or I don't think that it has the knowledge or the experience right now to be able to effectively break most kinds of zones, and especially when you're facing a 2-3 zone that Jim Boeheim's used for God knows how many years now. I think that it's going to be that much tougher. I mean, I have a hard time seeing them win this game, but Syracuse is also a team that I just don't, on a night-in, night-out basis, I don't know what I'm getting from them. So I could see a road game against a team that's already a little bit more familiar with them. I could see that, potentially leading to a Pitt win.
Craig, great stuff as always. And we will, I'm sure, talk to you down the road, buddy.
Perfect, Paul. Thank you.
All right, Craig Meyer, the Post-Gazette on Paul's Ice, is 93.7 The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.